Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Crypto Rundown, where we talk about everything that's happening in the great world of cryptocurrency. From the fundamentals through the news to the technicals on the charts, we spend the time doing hours of research so that you all don't have to. And I know what you're thinking, you know, we're coming in after the crypto market is moving down a little bit here. We've been on quite the wild ride as Bitcoin has recovered from the mid 50s back up to 65K. Now we're floating below 60K again. You're saying, man, what in the world could be happening in the crypto markets here? But rest assured, there is, in fact, so much happening. In fact, me and Tivo were creating the outline for this episode, and we're like, all right, let's include this and that and this and that. And we're like, are we going to have enough time for this all? So if you're listening in, man, we got an action-packed episode in store for everyone today. We hope all of you are at least a fraction as excited as we are. But let's go ahead and kick things off by handing it over to Captain Tivo over there.
Yeah, I mean, from March, right, we're in this wild range of up, down. I don't know. I guess even I could admit that if you zoomed out and just looked at the last couple months, like you could even maybe call it boring. But, you know, as we all know, whether it's with Bitcoin or even altcoins, the volatility kind of keeps you on your toes at all times. But even in this boring, quote unquote, range that stayed the same, there's been so much news and so much kind of really moving forward in the space of political things. We got a lot to talk about today with the Fed funds rate changing and just literally a full document of stuff to talk about. And it feels like it's been that way almost all summer. A lot of people say sell and man go away. I guess that worked if you were trying to talk about price action, but if you were looking to stay up to date, this is the right place to be.
Yeah, I mean, exactly. There's so much to cover today, and I think today's going to be a unique episode because we're dipping into both the crypto realm and the traditional realm, because the two really do affect in one another. Maybe not it's not always a direct, correlation, but there are crossovers that I think everyone needs to be aware of, especially if you have exposure to the crypto market. So, I mean, man, like Tivo said, the number one thing that we want to talk about here, I guess, just to get us kicked off, is what's happening with the Fed and what Powell's been saying here, which means it is finally time to cut rates. Now, this has been something that we actually have brought up over here on the Crypto Rundown before. You might have remembered from a couple of weeks ago, towards the start of this month, end of July, we looked at the markets and how they were pulling back quite, you know, in a quite a volatile manner. And one of the frustrations and complaints that people had was the fact that we still had not seen rate cuts. If you remember back to the beginning of the year, we were under the impression that we were going to be getting at least three, maybe as much as seven. And that seemed like a pretty solid approach, right? A pretty solid take. That was the plan. However, things started to pivot from that. And we've gone a longer and longer period of time without these rate cuts that people had been looking forward to. The market started getting frustrated. They started reacting negatively. We, of course, had the Japanese carry trade and things that were happening on that front as well. But Jerome Powell, as we like to call Jay Powell, has come out and said, hey, it is finally time. The time has come for policy to adjust. And with this comes rate cuts. Now, at face value, people look at this and they say, hey, this must be a good thing. We're going to be getting lower rates. This can potentially affect a bunch of other markets, right? People like to always correlate this to real estate and all the risk markets. However, I think it goes a little bit deeper than this. And so it raises the question of, is the Fed cutting rates a good thing? Or is the Fed cutting rates a bad thing, especially when it relates to the crypto market? So I want to pull up a tweet of actually just two people on Twitter going back and forth about this, because it is a really good question. Now, on top, you'll see there's a guy named Blake from even a couple of years ago, but I think the argument is still very much the same, saying everyone thinks that the Fed pivoting the rate cuts is a good thing for the market. However, let's look at what's happened previously. In 1969, it resulted in a minus 36% impact on the market. In 1973, minus 48%. In 1981, minus 27%. In 2000, minus 51%. In 2007 and 2008, minus 58%. And the list kind of goes on. And I've seen a lot of people talking about this going, hey, rate cuts aren't as good as you think it is. Now, the cool thing is that someone responded to him saying, hey, you're really just cherry picking the rates that came in recessions with really bad economic conditions. If you look at other time spans, we have 1966 plus 50%. In 1971, it was resulted in plus 25%. In 1984, we saw 111%. In 1989, it resulted in a plus 400% rally. In 1995, it resulted in a 200% rally. And in 1998, it resulted in a 68% rally. And I think this raises a really good point. And that, number one, yeah, people like to always cherry pick the information that best fits their narrative. But I think what that second kind of response tells us all is that no matter how you look at it, these rate cuts and maybe the pullbacks that can come with them, as it is largely based off of economic conditions, not sheerly just rate cuts, the dips that come out of those have been, as shown, some of the best buying opportunities. And although that was looking at the traditional markets, I think the same exact logic and approach works here in the crypto markets as well. And so whenever we get these kind of pullbacks, whether it is from rate cuts or whether it's from something else, which we haven't seen a lot of rate cuts or extended rate cuts since Bitcoin's existence. Again, we've seen a few, we've seen a little bit of a reaction. But as we look at this, I think the bigger takeaway is looking at the pullbacks that are created and then the wealth that was created afterwards. Because, man, if we're looking at some of those examples showing plus 400% in the stock market, plus 100% in the stock market, that makes me wonder what is possible in the crypto markets if we do get that kind of pullback and the wealth that could the wealth that could be created with that. We're going to talk about that a little bit more later on, just about how many millionaires have already been created from this rally that we've seen so far. But when I'm looking at rate cuts, I think that there is a sense of maybe just stepping back a little bit. I think taking a look at the larger picture here and saying, okay, how is this going to affect the risk markets? And Bitcoin is included into that scenario, just like NASDAQ is. Again, the two are not completely correlated. We've seen that very clearly recently. And when we look at both of these, I think that it just needs to be taken with a grain of salt, but also with proper understanding, right? We need to look at the situation and understand that, hey, this actually could be something that impacts Bitcoin. However, what comes out of this is would very likely be one of the best buying opportunities that we see in our lifetime. Now, there is a counter argument to that. People are probably going, Brendan, this sounds a lot more bearish than you made it out to be. But there's a counter argument to this. There is a caveat. And the caveat here is that the DXY, which stands for the US dollar currency index, is something that has been routinely inversely related to Bitcoin. We've brought it up a few times, I believe, over the course of us running the crypto rundown. But I want to bring it up again here because what we see with the DXY is a chart that whenever this thing goes up, Bitcoin goes down. Whenever the DXY goes down, Bitcoin goes up. And this has spotted the tops and the bottoms of just about every major market cycle in cryptocurrency. And man, it's given us a lot of information here again. So I'm going to flash this up on the screen for all of us so that we can take a look at this. And so when we look at the current state of the DXY, the number one thing that you're going to notice here is that this thing has been in a free fall since around June. Now, towards the end of June, we started seeing this thing come down. And recent days, we've just seen it enter this free fall zone. It started breaking below support. It just started tanking to the downside. And with this, what do you know? The crypto market has started rallying. Now, if we zoom out to the bigger picture and we go back to the DXY and we look at this thing on a weekly timescale, this is where things start to really get cool. Because we can go all the way back to some of these previous market cycles. Like, let's just run with 2017, for example, right? Whether you were around or not, you probably remember or know the fact that Bitcoin went from around $1,000 all the way up to $20,000 during this run. Well, here we can see the DXY topped out in December of 2016 and just started tanking over here. In fact, I actually want to add the Bitcoin chart up so that we can see these two side by side. So if we add Bitcoin to the right side of our chart, and we go all the way back over here to 2017, then what we can see is that at the very end of 2017, this is where that rally really began. And this is where Bitcoin went from around $600 all the way up over here to $20,000. Now, what about 2018, right? If we zoom back out over here, what about the beginning of 2018? Well, if we go to the beginning of 2018 on Bitcoin, what do you know? This is the bottom of that market cycle when Bitcoin fell from 20K all the way down to 3K. And in January of 2018, the markets topped out and the crypto market bottomed out, and the DXY over here was actually bottoming out as well. And so we also go back to the peak of 2020, right? We started seeing the markets of the DXY peak. And when this thing started to fall, the crypto markets started to pick back up again in 2018, as you can see from this arrow that I have over here. Around March was the bottom of the DXY, around March was the top of the DXY. And in March, this was the bottom of the crypto market. So again, the crypto market over here was signaled in the last quarter of 2016. That went on a bull run to 20K. We saw the top of the DXY also signal in March of 2020. That signaled Bitcoin going from $4,000 all the way up to almost $70,000. And now we're seeing the tank of the DSY once again. And so this is entering a pivotal area, right? We're looking at the 200-week moving average. Historically, this has been an area that incurs volatility, whether we bounce off of it or whether we tank through it. This has been one of the most inversely correlated charts to Bitcoin. And the fact that the DXY over here saw this peak and is now tanking back towards this crucial support level for the DXY. I mean, even on a weekly chart, we can see exactly how many times we bounced off of this area. And the fact of the matter is, if we break this here, it would be an astronomically good thing for the crypto markets. And historically speaking, when we do break this, that is when crypto gets exciting. I mean, let's look at the last time that we broke the 200-week moving average. It was in July of 2020. Well, what happened in July of 2020 over here? Well, this is when Bitcoin was getting ready to run from 10K up to almost 70K. And that's what signaled the real run. Even though the bottom happened a little bit lower, that was when the real upside volatility began for Bitcoin. And what do you know? That's the same timeline that we're in right now. We're pushing, you know, we're just out of July. We're still in August, pushing into September, into that last quarter. We historically start seeing things pick up in the last quarter of the year. And this is just a pattern that has been rinse and repeated over and over and over again in the crypto markets. Now, I don't want to go over everyone's head too much. I want to, you know, kind of give the high level summary over here is that if we have the Bitcoin and the DXY charts up side by side, DXY on the left, Bitcoin on the right, the DXY topped in 2016, the crypto market bottomed and went on an astronomical run after 2016. The DXY topped at the beginning of 2018, Bitcoin bottomed at the beginning of 2018, Bitcoin topped at the 2018. The DXY over here topped out in April and March of 2020. That's when Bitcoin bottomed out. The DXY bottomed out in April and March of 2021, and that's when crypto was topping out. And we're just continuing this pattern of looking at this. So when people are asking, hey, rate cuts and macroeconomics and all this other stuff, I think one of the things that we have to understand over here is that no matter what happens with rate cuts and all this other stuff, it doesn't necessarily have to be a bad thing for Bitcoin, because what we've been seeing is the DXY, or the US dollar currency index, plummeting. And with that plummeting, Bitcoin and crypto can see a lot of positive price action. And that's what I think one of the main takeaways here is for the crypto markets. Now, maybe if you're looking at NASDAQ, if you're looking at S&P, if you're looking at Dow Jones, maybe it's not as bullish as you could want it to be, right? There can be some nervousness there. There can be some uncertainty. You can look at those screenshots that we showed and maybe be hesitant towards being more risk on in your approach. However, for the crypto markets over here, it isn't that simple as just saying, oh man, historically, this has been a negative impact on the TradFi markets. But in the crypto markets, with the DXY and the US dollar losing value, it's actually a really good thing for the crypto markets, which is one of the major reasons why we've seen gold. And remember that Bitcoin is often referred to as digital gold. It's one of the big reasons that we've seen gold taking off to new all-time highs, I mean, over $2,500 per ounce. And we've seen gold just on a tear. And it's the same reason why we've seen Bitcoin kind of on this up and up as well. But I mean, yeah, I think TiVo, I think it's an interesting chart. I think oftentimes people overlook the DXY and the US dollar currency index and the impact that that has on the price of Bitcoin. But is that something that you've looked at before?
Only from your teachings, my friend, and taking in all this information and trying to digest it, I feel sometimes can be overwhelming. And I think that you got to, again, it's fun to be in the mix and in the weeds like we are from the week to week or even the day to day. But zooming out is always probably best practices for people who aren't professional traders. And I think that whether it's the Dixie, whether it's rate cuts, Fed funds versus the S&P, there's so many things that I think just all this, not even this like calendar year, like this last 6 months alone that we've taken in and digested, that you kind of got to, it's always good to be apprised and stay educated, but you also got to remember, like, you know, maybe some people listening are professional traders, but there's a lot of people that make their living on all this information and making these certain trades, and those time frames could be a week, a month, you know, 3 months. But at the end of the day, I don't think a lot of people listening to our show are those people that are, you know, relying on professional trading to make their living. And so I think it's good to stay apprised like we are, but you also got to zoom out and remember, like, we're like, specifically me, like, we're not professional traders, we're investors long term. And this is one chart that we even missed here. We'll bring it up, but it's basically Fed funds versus SPY, right? And so what it's showing, this top part here, is when the Fed begins to cut rates, what you'll see at the bottom is the S&P kind of tops out for a little. And like that, that's a pretty big, you know, for the, especially for the S&P, right? That's a pretty big dip right there. But at the same time, it's not as drastic as the Fed's funds rates going down. Like, long term, if you bought on any part of this channel, even if you took this dip down and bought, you go higher. And I saw this morning on the morning news, whatever, it was a chart of the S&P versus Warren Buffett. So Warren Buffett's making a lot of moves right now. He's selling Bank of America. He has an all-time cash pile, which just makes sense because he's, you know, the S&P is at all-time highs, so he's made as much money as he could ever make. But it showed basically him and his philosophy of just outperforming the S&P basically for 20 years. And, you know, he has dips just like the S&P does, but he constantly outperforms. And he has so many quotes of saying, you know, I don't know what stocks are going to do tomorrow, next week, next month, or even next year. But I know that, you know, if I find good businesses or good, you know, investments, they're going to be higher 5 to 10 years later. And I think that's kind of the mantra that me specifically I've been looking at, because I definitely have started to feel kind of information overload from everything from rate cuts to the political spectrum. It just feels like there's a lot going on right now.
Yeah, there definitely is. And, you know, I think that's why we look at all this information. But like you said, don't let it overwhelm you. There's so many different things to kind of take in here, which is why we look at it all and we try to present it to you. And I would say the big takeaways of all the yapping that I just did and all the data that we just looked at, the big takeaway here is that there's more going on, and that, you know, although the dip, especially in some of the risk markets, can be likely after this, as TiVo just showed in that last chart, the opportunity that arose out of those is just astronomical. Like, that's truly where the real opportunity lied. And so the big takeaway here is that with all the information overload that's out there, with all the technical data and people telling you this and that, to panic, to buy, to sell, all the stuff, right? The big takeaway is the simple approach of buy the dip and be greedy when others are fearful. That's another Warren Buffett quote that says, be greedy when others are fearful and fearful when others are greedy. I'm essentially saying, hey, when everyone's panicking about rate cuts, whenever people are panicking about this and that, his approach, which is to become more risk on in those scenarios after the dip has happened, be patiently waiting with cash, is the one that has been overall successful. And I think we can apply a lot of those same ideas here in the crypto markets. And so the crypto markets are continuing to expand. If we continue to see the US dollar weaken and the Dixie weaken, it would be a really good thing for the crypto markets. That's at a pivotal level that if we break, we could probably see crypto skyrocket. I think new all-time highs would be in the discussion for Bitcoin. And there's just a lot of really cool stuff that's happening there. And I think the other secondary big takeaway, TiVo, is that this could very well be a massively bullish catalyst for the crypto markets. And I think people are overlooking that because of traditional things. When the two markets are now just about as independent as it gets. You know, some days are they read together? Yeah, they are. But there's the correlation is just about gone. You now have crypto being around a $2 trillion market. It's very independent. It's very large. It's clear it's making its own moves. And we're seeing that in the altcoin market as well. I mean, we see some altcoins that are chugging to the upside, hitting new local highs, hitting new cycle highs. Some are hitting new all-time highs. And then you have other ones, which are in an extended downtrend. And they have been really since the first quarter of this year. And so we're seeing independency from not only crypto in the traditional side, but also within crypto itself, between Bitcoin and altcoins and one altcoin versus another altcoin. You know, we took a look at a lot of these charts last week when we looked at like Aave and when we looked at Tron and when we looked at Helium and how they've been comparing to maybe something like Cardano or XRP or Ethereum. And you have some altcoins that are, again, just doing better than others. And so that's the big takeaway here. You know, there's going to be a lot of opportunity, and keep an eye out for all the stuff that's happening, because man, it looks like the opportunities are just going to keep on coming, and we're on the verge of something really big here. So,
yeah. And as the opportunities keep presenting themselves, we keep getting, again, more quote unquote bullish news. I would call it more adoption. Right. And so we're seeing here this week, it came out that the NASDAQ seeks SEC approval. Our good friend Gary Gensler, the big fan of crypto that he is, I'm sure is excited to see this across his desk. But the NASDAQ seeks SEC approval for Bitcoin index options. And so obviously there's a lot of people that would really like the traditional option action on the Bitcoin price, but nothing approved yet, just kind of seeking. So I'm sure there's a lot of paperwork and legal loopholes to get through before these are approved. But people are looking for it because obviously there's a lot of data out there about, you know, whether it's MicroStrategy or different other ways to try to find some options on Bitcoin. But the people want it. So it's something that seems to be in the works. And, you know, I'm sure at some point will get approved just because of all the positive momentum we've had in the space. But want to get your thoughts on it, Brendan.
Yeah, I mean, could you imagine having options contracts on Bitcoin? We had the creation of Wall Street Bets and all the craziness that has happened over there without having the ability for Bitcoin options. This is something that I think is, number one, NASDAQ's looking at this as a cash cow. They're going, man, we can make some money here. And I think a lot of people are also looking at the natural volatility that Bitcoin brings. And they're going, Bitcoin doesn't need options. It's already really volatile. So, you know, number one, I think this is a good thing. I think it's the necessary step in the right direction. Again, we have Bitcoin now being the trillion-dollar asset that it is. I think it deserves this, especially with the launch of the ETFs and the success that they've seen, being one of the most successful ETF launches in history from a volume standpoint. They're looking at this as a cash cow and as a money-making opportunity. And I think it does make sense, right? If this truly is one of the most successful ETFs in history, it only makes sense that you get options for it. It does make me a little bit nervous about how people will use these options. I'm sure that this will create a handful of millionaires. What I'm nervous about is the other end of the spectrum with the people who take these options and get wrecked. So I think we're going to see a new era of Wall Street Bets from this. I wish everyone the best of luck. The only thing that I can say from this is be careful. If you're thinking about doing this, maybe you are a traditional options trader. You have a lot of experience under your belt. Maybe you have a little bit of experience under your belt and you're going, I want to try this thing out in the Bitcoin market. All that I'd say is really do your research, right? We can't give you financial advice over here, but really do your research about the risks and the volatility that this could bring, because the crypto markets are notoriously volatile even without leverage. And once you introduce leverage and options contracts, this will just exponentially escalate that. So best of luck out there. Do your proper research. And
the appetite for risk is I don't even know. I can't. It's palpable. Like, you can feel it across the world, really. And this came across my desk literally yesterday. I saw this article. So this is from Fortune.com. Americans are draining stock portfolios to shovel more money into sports betting. And oh, so, man. Like, I don't know what a good argument would be against Bitcoin futures, because right now you've got people in this country who are literally betting on the Jacksonville Jaguars to go to the Super Bowl. And we all know that's not going to happen. So you could either, you know, place some money on sports betting, or you could take your $100 and just literally light it on fire. I don't really know what the takeaway from that is, as much as the risk appetite's there. I don't know if it's people who need entertainment, people that are addicted to adrenaline, or sadly, if it's maybe a little bit of like almost like hopelessness, like, yeah, I don't need to invest. I don't need this money anyway. Like, I'm not going to level up. So they go for the fun route. But as somebody who enjoys sports gambling, I thought that was a fascinating article, and looking into some of the stats was really interesting, especially for the, you know, 25 to 40 cohort.
Yeah, you know, I think that a lot of social media and what has become today's norm is this idea of get rich faster. Mm-hmm. And the ways that people look at that have shifted. People, instead of looking at, oh, I'm going to save in my job and maybe put money into a house, or maybe I'm going to invest in the stock market. I mean, this has slowly escalated to going and investing in a 401k and a retirement fund, to going directly into your own exposure to NASDAQ and S&P, to owning specific stocks, to getting options on those stocks, to looking at the crypto markets, now looking at leverage in the crypto markets, now looking at sports betting, gambling. Like, it just keeps escalating, right? And I think that that's just, in an unfortunate way, the way that society has been moving here is more towards instant gratification. And as a result of that, we have been seeing more volatility in both the stock market and the crypto market. And then you add leverage on top of that and sports betting and all these other things, where seriously, in a matter of like 2-3 hours over the course of a sports game, you can bet and you can either win or lose, and you can either make a bunch of money or you can lose it all. Mm-hmm. And it kind of goes towards that just natural increase in volatility. But
couldn't agree more. And to build off that point, I think like what I said earlier was, hey, zoom out long term, we're investors. Yeah. And if I go back to a couple months ago when we were going over, we called it the Trump trade, right? Like, after the assassination attempt, Trump's polling went up before Biden dropped out. And the market did this as well. The crypto market, the traditional markets went full on Trump trade. Small caps, Russell 2000 skyrocketed. Bitcoin, crypto takes off, and it was like, oh, this is it. This is the trade. It was too easy. It was free money. And you know, I was somebody that started going into that trade. And then you get the correction, you get the carry trade, and then you got to be like, all right, man, yeah, this is it. It's all too fast. And you know, I'm not a professional trader, so it was a good reminder of that. But I think Our next segment here can show you that, you know, some conviction and long-term investing and not going for that instant gratification can lead to long-term wealth building if you do it the proper way. And so here was a headline, again, I saw this week that I thought we could talk about, which was the Bitcoin rally over the last year. Now, again, not the last month, not 3 months, not 6 months, over the last literally year and a half since the lows, this last Bitcoin rally, which, you know, from the 20,000 to where we are today, has helped create more than 84,000 new crypto millionaires in a year, which I thought was a really cool stat. Have you ever wanted to trade Bitcoin but haven't dared tried? With Plus 500 Futures, you can trade crypto without the hassle of opening a wallet. With just a few clicks, you can register and start practicing with their free and unlimited demo. See a trading opportunity? You'll be able to trade in just 2 clicks. Feel ready? You can move to real money with as little as $100 once your account is approved. And the great thing is that in addition to crypto, Plus 500 gives you access to a wide range of instruments like the S&P 500, NASDAQ, gas, and much more. Explore equity indices like energy, metals, Forex, and beyond. With a simple and intuitive platform, you can trade anytime, anywhere. Experience the fast, accessible futures trading you've been waiting for with Plus 500. With over 20 years of experience, Plus 500 is your gateway to the markets. Visit us.plus500.com to learn more. Trading in futures involves risk of loss and is not suitable for everyone. Not all applicants will qualify, and this is not personal financial advice. Plus 500, it's trading with a plus.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Yeah, I mean, it just goes directly back into that same approach that we've been talking about zoom out, look at the opportunities, especially inside of some of these dips. And that's where these 84,000 new crypto millionaires were created from. And it's like you said, this isn't someone saying, hey, options were introduced. 84,000 new crypto millionaires were produced from options, from leverage. No, it's saying over the course of a year, the people who saw the opportunity on the dips and played it patiently, those people, that's where 84,000 new crypto millionaires came from. Not from the people who are levered up to the max and posting on Reddit about it. So no digs at Wall Street Bets either. I actually find it super entertaining. I just don't think it's the most consistent way to make money. And it's probably one of the riskiest, but man, I love this headline because seriously, 84,000, almost 100,000 new, keyword is new there, crypto millionaires were created in a year. And if we do start to kind of bottom out again here in the next maybe month or so, and if the crypto markets do start heading back upwards, if we do start hitting new all-time highs, then we could have another article like this a year from now saying, hey, in the last year, from the time of making this video to next year, there was maybe 100,000 new crypto millionaires of people who capitalized on the dip situation. And while there's all this FUD about rate cuts and unemployment and this and that, and you know, if the markets do rally, who's going to be inside that 84,000? Whether it's a year from now, whether it's 5 years from now, you know, who, maybe whether it's a month from now, right? Least likely scenario, but you get the picture here. Zoom out, look at the bigger picture. And don't necessarily overthink things because that seems to be where the most mistakes are made.
No doubt. And look at the other stat is 172,000 people worldwide are now holding at least $1 million in crypto assets. And the our guy Robert Frank here, the author of the article, shout out Robert Frank, the surge reflects the rapid growth of Bitcoin ETFs, which now have over 50 billion dollars in assets since January. So yeah, just again, kind of goes back to the theme of the show, education, and you know, bullish good news for this space just keeps on growing. So you don't want to over leverage, you don't want to get margin called away of the growth of this industry.
I would agree, man. And you know what, perhaps the most bullish thing that we've ever seen is TiVo.
Please enlighten me.
It's the new Trump NFTs. Woo! I'm kidding. It's not an ad. It's a joke, everyone. But this is something that came out. And so I'm going to hand the reins off to TiVo here. And
yeah, you know, I just can't get enough of fun internet shenanigans. And that's kind of what I call this. So our NFT guys, Joe and Brian, informed us that Trump was dropping their new NFT collection, his new NFT collection, and gave us the rundown of, hey, just FYI, these are dropping. But, you know, the call was, you know, I wouldn't really necessarily call these investment because they have no cap, right? So it's just an unlimited amount of digital trading cards. But with that said, the website is hilarious. Like there's a 35-year-old Donald Trump with some boxing gloves. He's basically just trying to raise money for his campaign. Obviously, he went to the Bitcoin conference and he's done this before with his trading cards. So, you know, I guess it was successful because he's trying to get another dip and raise some money. And, you know, we have no affiliation to this, no recommendations of this other than just reporting on it that the Trump team has dropped some new NFT cards. And I don't know, shout out to the designer. I think they're pretty funny. I mean, he's holding a lightning bolt. He's on the motorcycle. Oh, there we go. He's got some Bitcoin here. So I mean, he is the Bitcoin candidate as of today, because we have not heard anything from Kamala Harris on crypto. But I think we would both agree that we'd be open to hearing at least some positive news from the Harris Waltz camp on crypto if they had any. And we'd love to talk about their vision for crypto and Bitcoin if it was a positive one. So
their just, NFT collection when it comes out.
Yeah, like let's go. We would love it. We would love it. I think the funniest thing, the last note, is the knockout suit. So if you buy, I'm sure you have to buy a ton of them. I don't know how you get it, but they're cutting pieces of his suit and putting it on like a real trading card, and they'll send it to you. So just some cool marketing. The shoes, buy five and get the shoes. I don't know. I mean, just kind of a funny, I don't even want to call it a circus because it's our country and presidential election, but I don't know what else to call it. It's a fun way to raise money. Let's put it that way. Just leave it at that. It's definitely not an investment. And, at least in my opinion, but it is a fun, unique way to raise some money, which, you know, hey, doing something in the space to raise awareness and be the crypto president.
You know, I'm on board with this. Weirdly enough, I'm on board with this. If he's going to come out and have all these pro crypto policies and regulations and push the crypto markets, let the man launch an NFT collection. And he has some cool things, right? Hey, like it's almost like a sweepstakes or a lottery where he's like, you could win sneakers, you could win a gala dinner, you could win these physical trading cards, you could do all these different things. And at least there is something that can be physically attached to this, not guaranteed. But if he's going to come out with all these pro crypto strategies and actually be a part of the crypto space at the same time, I'm for it. I think everyone can agree in the crypto space, regardless of where you stand, left, right, up, down, sideways, doesn't matter politically.
Yeah, like if you go to Walgreens or Dick's and just buy like a Topps trading cards for $5.99, like those aren't collectibles. Those are just fun, right? I want some trading cards. Now there's serious trading card people that go to the conventions and stuff, but these just seem to be fun, and you're obviously supporting, you know, your choice for president. But I agree with you. It's a fun, unique way to kind of raise some money and get your name out there.
Yeah. For sure. And so, you know, the more ways that we can get positive crypto regulation, I think that's what people really care about. And the fact that a candidate is even interacting with this stuff and talking about it the way that it's being talked about in a very positive light is what people are excited about. So if we can continue to get more positive crypto regulation and see this thing hopefully push to new highs in light of all of that, then I think that's what people are excited for. And that, again, zoom out on the big picture. Is the collection kind of funny? Is it kind of ironic? Yeah, it is. But the bigger picture here is that there is a presidential candidate that is very pro crypto and wants to make positive regulation. And it's someone who's willing to take a step further than just come out on a stage and say, hey, I want to do these things. I'm actually actively already doing stuff with blockchain tech, which I think is cool. We've never really seen this in a previous election. We've seen some sort of similar stuff, I think, with Trump NFTs in the past, but now we're in an election where this is like an actual campaign point to a degree. So it's cool to see that crypto has matured in a way that it's able to kind of reach this point. And we love to see any kind of positive crypto regulation that could potentially come out of this. But I think that's the high level overview here, TiVo. When we're looking at the crypto markets and kind of just the way that we're chopping around right around 59,000 at the time of recording this, I think moving forward, the big takeaway is, hey, watch crypto down here in the 50,000s. Watch for opportunity. I say crypto, specifically Bitcoin down here. Bitcoin dominance remains sky high at cycle highs, which means that Bitcoin is still very much kind of the go-to crypto until we see a pivot from Bitcoin dominance. That's when altcoins begin to run. And so with Bitcoin still being the main focus until Bitcoin dominance pivots to the downside, keep an eye on the DXY. Keep an eye on the Dixie and whether that thing tanks through support or starts to bounce. But also keep an eye on Bitcoin down here as it's floating around in the 50,000s. I think that there can be some serious opportunity with Bitcoin down here, especially if it continues to fall. If it continues to fall to the mid 50s, low 50s, that's where I'm eyeing up the true opportunity. And I think that there's going to be opportunity popping off of altcoins as well if we do see Bitcoin kind of get back down there. So there's all sorts of economic conditions, TradFi news, you name it, that's happening in the crypto markets. And we love keeping everyone informed. So all that we ask over here is that if you like the content that we make, consider hitting that like button, consider hitting that subscribe button. If you're listening on Audible or on Apple Podcasts or Spotify or any of those platforms, you can also check us out on YouTube, which is where we have all the charts and the visuals and the articles that we talk about on screen. That's where we show it all, on our YouTube channel, which is the Crypto 101 Podcast on YouTube. And of course, we got a lot of other great content on there as well. And we love reading the comments from those of you who are commenting on our YouTube. We also love going through the reviews from those of you who are leaving us reviews on Audible, on Spotify, on Apple Podcasts, on all those other sources. So we appreciate everyone. We love interacting with all of you. And we're going to continue to pump out a lot more of these crypto market updates in the months to come. But until next time, everyone, we're going to see all of you at the same time, same place next week.